Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews chapter 2. It's on page 1204. I understand that the Bible that I'm using may not be identical to exactly the one that you're using, but you're near the back of the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 2. So we're going to read together the Word of God from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, we must pay close attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders, and various miracles and gifts, by gifts of the Holy Spirit, distributed according to His will. Our second reading is taken from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is near the back of the Old Testament. It's near the back of the Old Testament. We're going to be reading together the verses 21 to the end of the chapter of chapter 33. So the reading will be Ezekiel chapter 33, reading the verses 21 through 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, commencing to read God's word from verse 21 through to verse 33. In the 12th year of our exile, in the 10th month, on the fifth day of the month, a fugitive from Jerusalem came to me and said, "The city has been struck down." Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me the evening before the fugitive came, and he had opened my mouth by the time the man came to me in the morning. So my mouth was opened, and I was no longer mute. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, the inhabitants of these waste places in the land of Israel keep saying, 'Abraham was only one man, yet he got possession of the land. But we are many. The land is surely given to us to possess.' Therefore say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, you eat flesh with blood and lift up your eyes to idols and shed blood. Shall you possess the land? You rely on the sword, you commit abominations, and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Shall you then possess the land? Say this to them, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely those who are in the waste places shall fall by the sword, and whoever is in the open field I will give to the beast to be devoured, and those who are in strongholds and caves shall die by pestilence, and I will make the land a desolation and a waste, and her pride shall come to an end, and the mountains of Israel shall be so desolate that none will pass through. Then they will know that I am the Lord, and I have made the land a desolation and a waste because of their abominations that they have committed. As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear the word that is from the Lord. And they come to you as people come. And they sit before you as people, my people. And they hear what you say. But they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act, their heart is set on their gain. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. When this comes, and come it will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them." And for our final reading, we turn to the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, near the front of God's word. into the 18th chapter of the fifth book, and reading God's word from the verse 15. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I have commanded him. And whoever will not listen to my words, that he will speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." And there we end our reading of God's word. The past few weeks, by the providence of God, he has brought us to a consideration of the way in which we are living our lives as those who profess faith in Jesus Christ. It began with a challenge from the book of Hebrews a couple of weeks ago, when we considered how the writer sets out to seek to awaken his readers, Christians from the Hebrew tradition, who were for various reasons seeking to hanker after the old ways, the ways of their former Jewish faith. The reason why these people were beginning to look back over their shoulder was because the expectations that they had laid before themselves had not been realized. They thought that many Jews would be ungathered. They thought that Christ would return quickly, that he would establish his kingdom. And they thought that in the establishing of that kingdom, his reign would extend through all the world. The reality was that not many of their friends and relations had been converted. In fact, the church was increasingly being filled with Gentiles and all the problems that that brought. The expectation of the imminent return of Jesus had not been realized either. The Roman authorities were on the ascendancy. And the writer, as we saw, called these people to take great care, Hebrews chapter 2. Pay much attention, much closer attention to what we have heard. And he reminded them of what they had heard and the authenticity of what they had heard, how that had been attested to by angels, by works, by those who had heard it, and by signs and wonders. How that Jesus Christ had proclaimed this message himself with authority. And he warned them with a reminder of what took place when those who heard the word of God but did not heed the word of God in the Old Testament, those people suffered what the writer says is a just retribution. The hearing of the word of God, a sober challenge. And as we explored the reasons why some of these people were going down this road of drift and then neglect, we established from chapter 3 and chapter 4, that the reason why many people were doing this was because they, like their forefathers who had come out of Egypt, seen the 10 plagues, crossed the Red Sea, and then had proceeded to the edge of the promised land, but would not set foot in it because they did not truly believe. And the writer to the Hebrews warns these people and says to them, do not be like your forefathers. Do not experience the blessings of God. And then when it comes to the true exercise of faith, deny that exercise because of unbelief. And last week we considered the question, how is it possible for people to say that they love God, to manifest in some way evidences of church activity, and yet truly never to know Jesus Christ. And we saw that that is possible. It is possible for people to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. It is possible for people to do things in the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke of those who called him Lord, Lord. People who said to him on the day of judgment, did I not cast out demons? Did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not do mighty works in your name? And Jesus said to them, depart from me, because I never knew you. And the reason he says is he never knew them, although they said they believed in him, although they demonstrated to a degree a certain amount of activity in the church, which some people could have read as believing in him. He said, the reason why you never believed in me was because you never actually willingly submitted to the revealed will of God. You masqueraded as a Christian, but in reality, you were not truly converted, because when God commanded you to obey his law, you would not obey his law. When God commanded you to exercise that which was biblically correct, you refused to do it. You went with your feelings and said, you put yourself above God's will. You did what you did because you wanted to do what you wanted to do. And God says that in the person of Jesus, that tells me one thing. When you do not do what God commands, regardless of what you say, it means that you have never truly been converted. But having considered why there are many who drift and neglect through unbelief, the writer to the Hebrews here is still speaking to people, some of whom who are Christians. Some of people who have been genuinely converted. Some people who long to do the will of God. Some people who are in this drift mode, this serious drift mode. And he is addressing them. And I want to ask the question this morning to those of you who are Christians. Why is it that we get ourselves into this drift mode? This route which leads us to neglecting the primary things of God in our lives. Where we engage in activities, or we engage in thought processes, where we give the semblance of being fully in ownership of our faith by the will of Christ, but in reality, our lives are not expressing, they are not articulating the real work of God in our lives. We are converted. I'm speaking to those of you who are converted. And I'm asking the question, what is it that causes us to engage in a Christian life that is not fully consumed with a passionate, living, deliberate, consensual obedience to the will of God? It's a very, very important question. And we have an indication of it here, a reason for it in Hebrews chapter 2. It's a failure to pay much closer attention to what we have heard. And that leads me this morning to two questions. Why do we stop listening? And secondly, why does God get so worked up about people who won't listen? Why do we stop listening? And why does God get so worked up about people who won't listen? Why do people stop listening? Well, the first thing to note is it's not a new phenomenon. It's not a consequence of our 21st century living. Yes, the noise of our culture does block out our capacity to listen a great deal, because we are surrounded by so much activity in the media. We have attuned a capacity which previously in other generations wasn't as acutely attuned, and that's the capacity to cut out a lot of that which is droning and monotonous. We have become very capable at receiving information and allowing it to go in one ear and out the other. We have to, because of all that we hear every day. But I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 33, that second passage that we read, that passage from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, which is near the back of the Bible. And there we read in the 30th verse of God speaking to Ezekiel, and God speaking of the people of God and how they are enthusiastic about hearing the word of God from the lips of Ezekiel. He says, "Your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses say to each other, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord." Here there's an example of these people are going about and they're talking to one another and they're encouraging one another in their homes and outside, and they're saying to one another, let's go and hear the word of God that is being preached. There's an appetite here. There's an evident hunger here to go and hear the word of God preached. And it's not that they simply talk about going and hearing the word of God preached, because you'll see in the 31st verse that the people actually act on this desire. They come to the Ezekiel and they sit before Ezekiel and they hear what Ezekiel has to say. So it's not simply that they're saying, let's go to church and hear the word of God preached. This is not just a passing statement. This is not just some person or individuals saying, we have this idea. There is actual action that follows this idea. They actually get up and they leave and they go to the place where Ezekiel is and they sit down and they listen to what Ezekiel is saying. But note the impact of their hearing of the word of God in their lives is nil. It makes no impact on their lives at all. It makes absolutely no impact on their lives at all. Verse 31. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as people. And note, he's talking here about his people, the people of God. They hear what you say, but they will not do it. They don't do it. They won't do it because their hearts are not set on doing it. They will not do what Ezekiel says. And why not? Why do they keep coming? Why do they keep talking about coming? Why do they keep encouraging each other to come and to hear if at the end of the day they're not prepared to actually do anything about what they hear from the lips of Ezekiel? What's the point of their interest? What's the point of them engaging emotionally? What's the point of them listening? What's the point of them coming and spending time listening to this man tell them the words of God as the people of God if they won't do it? What are they getting out of it? Well, it tells us in verse 32. It tells us that they come because they listen to him, because he is one who sings like one who sings lustful songs. He has a beautiful voice. He's like one who plays an instrument well. They hear what he says, but they don't do it. It's like they are going to hear him speak because there is a degree of enjoyment in hearing him speak. It delights their ears. It moves their emotions. It resonates with some spot in their hearts. It lifts them up. It gives them a sense of well-being. They listen to Ezekiel preach and teach, and it's as though the words that are flowing from Ezekiel's lips are like the words of a classical pianist who is an expert at his chosen discipline. They listen to him, and those words are strung together with such beauty. The intonation of his voice is so appealing, and they hear what he's saying, and it brings them a degree of aesthetic pleasure. It brings them an enjoyment. It brings them a warm inner feeling. They listen to him because he fills some gap in their lives, but they do nothing about what they hear. They do nothing about what they hear. Why is that the case? Why is it that they get so emotionally drawn into what they hear, and yet it has no impact on their thoughts, their words, or their actions? Why does it not change them? Why does it not lead them into a greater degree of delight in God, love for God, and obedience to God? Why is it that these people are not in a situation where they feel, yes, my life is marked by sin. Yes, I do things that are wrong, and I should go to God, and I should repent of those things, and I should stop doing them, and I should obey him because his word comes to me, and he loves me, and he delights in my obedience. Why do they not come and say, when Ezekiel preaches to them concerning what God would have them to do, Ezekiel, you are right. I have omitted to engage with God at this point in my life. I have failed abysmally to do what God wants me to do, and I am desperately and genuinely sorry. It grieves my soul that I have omitted to do what God would have me to do. And I will forever remember your preaching of this sermon because it called me to desist from that failure to do what God would have me to do. Ezekiel preached well today, didn't he? Oh, we all love that. Can't wait to next week until Ezekiel comes back and preaches again. What did Ezekiel preach on today? Well, he really preached a wonderful sermon. It really was good. It sounded so good. Really sounded so good. You could listen to that man. He's obviously an articulate, eloquent, gifted individual. And what are you going to do about what Ezekiel called you to do from the Word of God? Well, there isn't anything really for me to do. Why was there such an antipathy towards the doing of what God commanded them to do? Well, he tells us. Verse 24. The inhabitants of these waste places in the land of Israel keep saying, Abraham was only one man, yet he got possession of the land, but we are many. The land is surely given us to possess. In other words, we're okay. We're fine. We're sorted. God gave this land to Abraham. He was one man. He dwelt in it. We live in this land that God has promised on oath to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We are many. There is nothing that can happen to us. Everything in our life is okay. We believe in Jesus Christ. We are sealed in by the promised Holy Spirit. There is nothing in my life that I need to address because it's all okay. I'm sorted. I will just trundle along and I will do what I've always done. And I will live my life as I want to live it. And I will make my choices as I want to make it. And as long as I turn up on Sunday and hear the word preached, as long as I make a few comments that show that, oh, that was enjoyable, that was beneficial, then everything's all right. Well, was everything all right? Was everything all right in these people's lives? You looked at these people and you saw them flock to Ezekiel, and you heard them talk in the community, you heard them talk in their homes, we must go and hear the word of God preached. And they would sit there with attention to what Ezekiel was saying. They would sit and listen as though the very words of God, which there were flowing from his lips himself. And they would sit there and they would hear it. And then they would go home and they would do absolutely nothing whatsoever based on what they had heard. What they would do, God tells us, was be an abomination to God. They would eat the flesh with blood in it. They would lift up their eyes to idols. They would shed blood. And they would do abominations. And they would defile each other with their neighbor's wives. And God says to them, how can you come and hear the preaching of the word of God and then go home and live your life the way that you want to live it? Break this command, break that command, break the other command. It doesn't matter. Why? Because, you know, we're sorted. We're sorted. We're sorted. And God says to them, far from being sorted, you are in grave peril. He says to them, shall you possess the land? Shall you possess the land? He says, I'll tell you what will happen. He says, I will lay waste to you. I will give those in the waste places will fall by the sword. Those in the open fields I will give to the beasts. Those in the strongholds and in the caves will die by pestilence. I will make the land a desolation and a waste, and her proud might shall come to an end. The mountains of Israel shall be so desolate that none will pass through. You come and you listen. You don't listen at all, he said. You don't listen. You don't want to listen because everything's sorted in your life. And yet you go out and you break command after command after command after command with impunity. And it's as though it doesn't matter. He says, you don't understand what you're doing. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I have made the land a desolation and a waste because of all their abominations that they've committed. And when this comes, and come it will, he says, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Why did people not listen? They didn't listen because they thought that they had it sorted. They thought it was all right for them to do what they would do. And they thought that life would be easy and clear and simple. They would listen to what the preaching had to say. It would entertain them to a degree. And then they would go and live their life the way that they wanted to live it. And that God wouldn't mind because, after all, God was their God. Jesus, after all, died on the cross to save me from my sin. And so I'm safe. Now, is that not a sobering challenge to you and I? A sobering challenge to us. That we can listen to the preaching of the word of God. We can delight even to listen to the preaching of the word of God. But in our hearing of the preaching of the word of God, there can be an attitude of, I don't really need to hear this. I don't really need to hear this. Because I am all right. I don't need to hear what God requires of me. I don't need to hear that God demands of me. I don't need to hear the commands of Jesus to take heed and hear his word. it really doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, I don't need to change. Because I am a Christian and my life is sorted. And God will love me regardless of what I do, think, or say. And God says to us in His Word, that's not the way it works. I didn't send Ezekiel just to preach the word to tickle their ears and to provide entertainment. I sent Ezekiel because of a very serious and real problem in the nation. I sent Ezekiel with my words to bring warning and serious warnings to you to stop and to consider the rebellion of your hearts. Because that's what it was. It was rebellion of their hearts. You and I would have sat and looked at these people and thought they were good people, they were decent people, they were ordinary, godly, fearing people. But God says you're not. The evidence isn't what you worship. The evidence is what you put your love into. The evidence is based on the choices that you make. The evidence is based on the life that you live. And God says, by the evidence of that, you think you will continue to possess the land? He says, it's not going to happen. He says, in fact, it's not the case of you not possessing the land, is that I'm going to bring desolation on the land. And then you will listen. Then you will stop and you will think. Then you will actually take seriously what you're hearing. Then it will not just simply be coming and exercising, listening to the Word of God to fulfill an activity on a Sunday morning. It will be a listening to the Word of God because this Word comes to you with the power of God in order that God would speak to you, that your life would be changed, that you would make choices and decisions regarding your thoughts, your words and your actions that would lead you into a way of obedience to the one who was cursed on a tree for your salvation. That's what God says to them. Then you will know when you're sitting in a land that's desolate, when you're sitting in a wasteland, when you're sitting with nothing around you, when I have brought you to your knees and you have nothing left. You have nothing to get from anybody else, and you have nothing to get from yourself, and you have nothing to own. Then you will realize that when I speak, God says, I'm not just speaking for the sake of speaking. I'm not just saying words for the sake of filling time. I'm speaking in order that in the hearing of my words, obedience would follow. And Jesus said that to us time and time again in the parables. Take heed how you hear. Let him who have ears hear. And I would encourage you this morning to think about how you hear and listen to the Word of God. That you listen to it with an ear attuned by the grace of God to discern from that word, what is it that God would have me to do? Have me to do. Have me to do. That I might not just be a hearer, but I might be a doer of His word. And the promise comes that those who are doers of His word will be blessed, whereas those who are hearers of His word will not be blessed. And this evening I'll look at the reason why God gets so worked up about people when they don't listen. Why is it that this is something that really gets under the skin of God? Why does He get so angry and annoyed, as He does here? Because you read that, if you go home this afternoon and read that again, He doesn't beat about the bush, He's very direct with them. Why is God so angry and annoyed with people who listen but do not listen? Who hear but do not do? And I would invite you and encourage you to pray before you come tonight that God would open your ears to understand this, because we all need to hear it. We all need to hear it. If this really, really gets God going, then this is something that we really, really need to think about seriously. Because we're not dealing with an angry husband or wife or family member or friend. When God gets really worked up about something, that's a thing that we need to take heed of. That's a thing we need to think about. That's a thing we need to give serious consideration to. So come tonight prepared to hear why God gets so worked up.